does not require the bureaucracy, technocracy, working together to create gridlock so nothing gets done. We can make a difference. We are making a difference. So call the number. You'll get a copy of the film. You'll watch the film. We'll have a discussion. And you'll be a lot more empowered when you see what's in this film, which took about 3 years to write. I had to write it, had to go around the world, film it, and it's the latest film. Saving the Planet is the name of the film. So we look forward to seeing you at this screening, at the premiere, at 86th Street in Amsterdam at 7 p.m. this coming Friday evening. One last time on the number, please.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And you, for this screening, we are asking you to make that payment ahead of time with your phone call. 212-209-2950. Thank you, Gary. We have to move okay. to our next program. Talk to you again soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, Helena, got more easy questions for me?
I sure do, smarty pants. Who was the music librarian when the station was located in the church on the east side?
Easy, Yoko Ono.
Right again. And what station went to the Supreme Court defending the free speech right to use George Carlin's seven dirty words?
That would be WBAI.
Where else but WBAI?
Support us during the fall fund drive, and you can start right now by going to give2wbai.org or call 212-209-2950.
Hey, Reg, do you remember the time when President Clinton called in and Amy Goodman read him the Riot Act?
212-209-2950 or go to wbai.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, join the award-winning Midnight Ravers on Friday, October 16th, 2015, at the early start time of 10 p.m. for our marathon special, A Moment in Hip-Hop. Tune in for this four-hour spectacular as we pay tribute to the pioneers of hip-hop. Special in-studio guests will be DJ Kool Herc, Grandmaster Caz, Grand Wizard Theodore, Kangol Kid, and some surprise guests. So, mark it on your calendar, tell a friend, and be sure to show your support. Again, that's Friday, October 16th at 10 p.m. for the Midnight Ravers presentation of A Moment in Hip Hop. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Miss this one and hate yourself.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
It's just about the one-year anniversary of the passing of the great singer-songwriter Ray Corona. I'm Ken Gale, and we'll be celebrating Ray's life on the next episode of Ecologic with members of his band, Tuesday, October 13th at 8 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Well, hey, I don't hear anything here on these headphones. Okay, maybe I do now. Anyway, 7 o'clock here at WBAI New York 99.5 FM. And we have a little treat for you. It's going to be an early edition of the Personal Computer Show here Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. Got Hank in the studio. Got Joe on the phones.
Hello, world. This is Hank Key.
I guess he's not there.
We're going to try again.
I'm back.
Hey, we'll get it right. This is Hank Key from the Personal Computer Show. This is not our normal time, so well, we have a little logistics problem to get around. And we're on tonight, this evening, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And for those who may have been tuning in for Off the Hook, they will be on next week, October the 14th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then we will be back on October the 21st from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We are preempted on October the 14th and the 28th, and on those days we are preempted. Off the Hook will be on for that time period. So aside from tonight, the next time we're on is October the 21st, and following that, November 4th. And what I did was I broke this up into four segments, and I just want to let everyone know that tonight we have scheduled a special segment to be on the air about 8:30 p.m., and that's 8:30 Eastern time. So if you're listening on the Internet from elsewhere, adjust it accordingly. And I'm going to be talking about how, from Microsoft, you can get a free full installation copy of Windows 10 as an upgrade. So joining me this evening is Joe King, and I believe he's on the line now.
I am indeed, Hank, and I'm glad to hear that you're going to explain how to get the Windows 10 as an upgrade, but can you get it if you don't have an existing copy to upgrade?
Well, you need an existing copy of Windows 7, and you don't even need that. All you need is a serial ID for that, or Windows 8.1. And when you enter that in, then it moves you through with a full brand new install instead of an upgrade an upgrade means you're upgrading something that exists that may or may not have malware on it and mouse trails. And before we begin tonight, let me just say that for this first segment, we've scheduled a couple of things to talk about, and I think it was a great interest. But before we do that, let me just say that we have four premiums that are being offered, and I'll go through very quickly.
Wait just a minute. Didn't you leave some very small, minor thing out? We're trying to get people to join the station and become new members of the BAI family.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's what the premiums are for.
Yes, I was going to say we have premiums, and the number is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And for those who are perhaps not in the calling area or you don't have access to nationwide calling, you can go to wbai.org, and we'll walk you through that a little later, okay?
Well, let me just add one thing to that, Hank, because if they go to pcradioshow.org on the World Wide Web, Michael has put up a description of the premiums in the left-hand column. Just look for the premiums for joining, and you can get the information that Hank is about to give you now. You can read it there while he's talking about other things.
And Michael is Michael Horowitz, our webmaster. And the reason why I'm going through the details on this, Joe, is because we are not on our scheduled time. We are on the time that Off the Hook people might be tuning in, so they may not be familiar with us. But next week, they'll have 2 hours, and they'll go through the same logistics.
I just have one small question, Hank. Are we familiar with this?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Well, one of us is. Yeah. That's all we need.
Well, we have four basic premiums, and I'll go through some of the other things we have. But as I indicated before, Microsoft has made available a full installation copy of versions Windows 10 for both Home and Pro. And we have the Windows 10 Home Installation 2 DVD set for a requested donation of $50. We have the Windows 10 Pro Installation 2 DVD set also for $50. And why 2? Well, in case you have a 32-bit CPU, we have the x86 DVD. And if you happen to have a 64-bit CPU, we have the x64 DVD. So we have a copy of the Windows 10 Home 2 DVD set and Windows 10 Pro 2 DVD set. And then the ones that people have been asking for from past fundraising is the Windows XP Support Toolkit DVD for $50. And let me just simply go through that. We have an unofficial modification that will allow you to get 5 years more of support on Windows XP. And since Microsoft took down the service packs, we have the service pack 2 and 3. And we have the unofficial service pack 4. So that is the Windows XP support. And
Wait, stop. We have service pack. Microsoft never released a service pack for.
It's an unofficial service pack that got put together that they never gave it a blessing, but they have no objection to it. In other words, what it is that after Service Pack 3...
So you either get it here or you don't get it at all.
Right. What happened is that after Service Pack 3, which was many years ago, they had many, many updates. Well, for those, you know, depending on where you're located, I think the estimates are anywhere from 12% to 20% of the installed base of Windows machines are still using XP. Now, we also happen to have what we call a Windows 7 support toolkit. Requested donations $50, and this one has the service pack 1 for both 64-bit as well as 32-bit, and then we have the PC virtualization. In other words, if you don't happen to have a hardware software multiply, this will do it. So it allows you to do virtualization so that you can install a virtual PC. Again, we have two versions of that, one for 64-bit, one for 32-bit. And here's a kicker that's no longer available on the website, nor can you find it on the net, or if you can find it, you're lucky. It's Windows 7 XPM. What Windows XPM 7 XPM is the ability to run the Windows XP Professional free, the full version free from Microsoft under virtual PC on Windows 7. So if you happen to be, let's say you really want to go from XP to 7, you don't want to fool around with 8, 1, or 10, you could still do it with XP. And the beauty of this XP implementation is that it's not just for a program, it's for anything. In other words, you don't have to really run it in a separate box or sandbox, is what Michael would call it. In other words, if you happen to have an old scanner that has Windows XP software drivers only, but you don't have it for 7, you don't have it for anything else, guess what? You can actually install software drivers for XP running under 7. So that's a nice part about it. So it's available, and these are the four DVDs that we sets of DVDs, and while
how do people get the DVDs, Hank?
Well, it's 212-209-2950.
And what kind of a donation does it require?
Each of the four packs is $50.
$50 each.
Each
for
right.
What could really save your life.
Right now, while I put this together without conferring with Joe, I said I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. We have a bonus. It's called a white paper that I've since written, and the white paper is something I'm going to be talking about tonight, but it's going to be written in greater detail, something I'll be covering at the second half of the second hour, and that is how do you go about installing a full copy installation of Windows 10 instead of doing an online upgrade, because when you do an online upgrade, you only get pieces of it, and you would like to have a full installation. So a white paper will be available. What you should do is just email us a copy of your confirmation of a premium pledge dated after October 5th. In other words, October 5th
the receipt,
or later.
The confirmation, dated, not the email.
Right. Just a copy that the confirmation date is October 5th or later, and or
where do they mail that?
When they get it, and then
where what address?
Well, no, I'm not finished yet. Okay, or if you made a cash donation of $25 or more, we'll also send you the white paper. And just go to pcradioshow.org and send a piece of mail to Joe, and Joe will have it, and he'll send it to you.
Address it to PC Radio at pcradioshow.org, and in the subject line put Windows 10 white paper.
Yeah. Well, no. Just put down. Actually, just say confirmation, and by the confirmation date, we know which one it is. Okay.
Well, put something in the subject line that I will recognize when I see it.
Confirmation.
Confirmation. All right. Fine.
Simple. One word. Okay. So I'm not going to go through the details on this until maybe later on, and let's get to something that I want to pick up on that. we spoke about last week, and Off the Hook people also spoke about it, and there are updates on Volkswagen. And one of the things that intrigued me about Volkswagen is that one of the spokesmen, who happens to be on the board of directors of Volkswagen, made a statement that, you know, this is something that the board did not know about. And
you'll have to start, because some people don't know what you're talking about.
Why don't you do it then?
Well, it seems that last week it was confirmed that Volkswagen had hacked their own software so that the diesel engine cars could recognize whether they were running free on the road or were in a situation of testing. When they were testing, they cut out the software test to make it look like they had a much safer, much better, more efficient system than they actually had.
Well,
that was bypassed, and they were able to have dirtier output but more efficient engine running.
Well, Joe, let me just interrupt. It's in both tests, it's safe. It was the emission that was hacked. And with the emission, it did not comply with European Union and California emission laws.
Or the United States federal laws.
Or the United States federal laws. But it does not, I don't want to mislead anyone who may have a diesel or a Volkswagen car, because it's not a question of safety. It was a question of emission, but not safety.
Actually, Hank, you're misinterpreting it. There's a tremendous factor of safety in that they are polluting the air that you and I have to breathe.
Okay, you could do it that way, but it has to do with safety of the car itself.
Okay. It has to do with the fact that I personally am suffering from COPD, and I don't need extra pollutants in the air that are illegal.
Well, the board member, the Volkswagen board member, his name is Olaf Lies.
L-I-E-S.
Yeah. Now, I think that if from a PR point of view, he should not have been the spokesman, because they said, Volkswagen... spokesperson.
I'm looking at what you sent me, Hank, and I must read it because I cracked up when I read it. This is what Hank had to say, and it turns out he was simply quoting a newspaper.
Olaf Lies.
Lies
about Volkswagen. Okay. I mean...
And what lies from Volkswagen, quote, our staff acted criminally, but our board didn't know, unquote. And that's a lie from Volkswagen, who said that.
Oh, they should have known. I mean, you know, there are other companies who have gone through similar things, but how you handle the PR is so important. And this one, they just botch it up one after another. Now, from last week to just the past day or two, the CEO quit, although his contract was due, running out at the end of the month, and they hired a new CEO from their Audi division, because they have many divisions. And what happened was that they have 600,000 employees, and he addressed 20,000 of them, you know, probably over, you know, electronically. And he said that we set aside $7 billion for liabilities, but I think it's going to be more than that. And
well, it turns out that some countries, particularly Australia, have a much more rigid consumer protection law than we do in this country. And while they didn't have anything close to the sales in Australia that they had in the United States, it seems that each one of those cars that they've sold could be liable to $1 million fine, which would pretty well, if it didn't put Volkswagen out of business, it would certainly take away everybody's Christmas bonus this year.
Well, what this new CEO told the 600,000 employees is that sales are down, and it's going to be very tight. And basically, he's forewarning everyone that there'll probably be layoffs. And I'll tell you what bothers me about the whole thing is you got 600,000, or let's say 599,900 innocent workers. And through all this, I have not seen any mention of any criminal action brought against the people who did it.
I haven't yet, but I have heard that New York State, California, and one other state are joining together to look into criminal prosecution if they can find anything legally wrong.
Well, I was surprised because I thought at first it was just Volkswagen, but I knew that Audi was a part of the Volkswagen company. But did you know the name of some of the other cars they make?
Well, there's a couple that are not as famous in this country, but Porsche certainly is just as famous as Audi. Skoda, maybe. But then there's also, after Skoda, you mentioned a couple of companies that I never even heard of.
Seat is another one.
Who?
SEAT. There must be, in a certain country. But the total is like almost a million cars. Actually, 1.2 million cars. That's a lot of cars.
You talked about the employees of the company, and you felt sorry for them. I didn't hear you mention anything about the people who bought the cars and were scammed into thinking they were buying something better.
Oh, no. I feel bad for them because that's why I said I'm very shocked that there's no discussion of criminal action, because there should be criminal action on this.
Well, there is talk of it. Let's see whether it's talk or if something really develops.
If it's a slap on the wrist, I'd be very unhappy with that.
No, that would not. I would like to see, for the very first time, I shouldn't say that. I saw this happen at Enron, but I'd like to see some, real criminal charges and perhaps hard jail time for people responsible for this.
Well, and, I'll tell you what I'm more surprised by, okay? We have these standards, both the European Union and the United States and California, with even, stricter ones. But I'm shocked that we do not have independent testing. We just say to the manufacturers, these are the standards, and you tell us whether you meet it or not. That's a stupid standard, then, isn't it?
Well,
there's no verification.
It's not just automobiles. It's virtually everything.
There is no verification. So when you say, "Thou shalt not," have the following, but I'll take your word for it. I mean, that's no regulation. That's not a effective voice. It's there's no enforcement.
You don't hear any arguing from this side.
Well, and I'll tell you what I'm more surprised by, okay? Maybe I should name names, all right? And that is, I was in a dental office, and like most dental offices, they have all these magazines, and many of them are things like Consumer Union, Motor Trends and so on. And, of course, what they do is they test cars. Guess what? They just repeated what the specs are given to them. There's no testing of those specs.
Well, actually, Consumers Union has gone through a major, major editorial change over the last several months, where almost all of the independent test features have been fired, and they're using different policies that you and I would not necessarily smile on.
The Consumers Union that we knew back when we could rely on it is what you're saying is it's changed.
It's changed dramatically. I haven't aired it, but we've interviewed one of their senior technology people who is no longer with them. And I believe strongly that what he had to say was not bitterness out of being fired.
Sadness.
But it was sadness over how old was Consumers Union? Many, many decades.
Oh, they came out in the 1930s, I think.
Yeah, many decades. And whether for profit bottom line reasons or other reasons, we don't know what their integrity, scientific integrity, has been totally questioned.
The other thing is that the European Union, actually the German government, demanded Volkswagen come up with a target date of when they expect to have the recalls completed. And before they are allowed to market the car. And go ahead, tell them what date they came up with.
Well, the date they came up with is not, to me, it's not as significant as the fact that up until this scandal broke, Volkswagen has been absolutely fighting to weaken the regulations on cars. throughout Europe and even in this country. And they've been fairly successful in their lobbying. And then this story broke. When I look at the statistics, 500,000 Volkswagens, 40% of...
No, 1 million. 1 million are affected, not 500,000. 1 million, that's a lot.
According to what I have, there's...
No, you have to add up all the brand names. That's how you get the million.
I'm saying there are 500,000 Volkswagens, almost 400,000 Audis, 75,000 of a car I've never heard of, 130,000 Skodas, 80,000 commercial vehicles from Volkswagen, a total of
1.2 million.
1.2 million.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is overall, because over 1.2 million of England's VW branded automobiles have the dirty software. So the numbers are in conflict with each other, and it's funny because according to the Times, it was in 2008 that the whole thing started. Volkswagen discovered, according to the news, the New York Times, that this new clean diesel engine wasn't really there. It was a fake. Since 2008, the story just broke now, 2015. 7 years.
Joe, talking about the European Union, let me just switch gears a little bit to say that the Court of Justice of the European Union, a judge said that the safe harbor agreement between the United States and the Europe is invalid.
Now, what do you mean by safe harbor?
But what they're saying is that the transmission of data between the United States and the members of the European Union is just privacy issues, and they can no longer transfer it.
Well, they can no longer transfer it on the basis that the so-called safe harbor, which I've now really read into, and I don't understand any more now than when I started reading into it, but the basis of it was that it was assumed that if any data was transferred from Europe or from the European Union to the United States, it was protected under the same form of protection laws that it would have had in Europe, under the European Union protection laws. And so it was called a safe harbor coming back and forth. This was absolutely necessary for international businesses to be able to function.
Especially like
then
Facebook.
There was just one small little problem. A man named Snowden pointed out that it wasn't private when it came to this country. The NSA had total access to anything they wanted access to. And that blew the lid off, because the European Union said, wait a minute, if you're not giving it the same protection we would have given it, then it's not in a safe harbor, and you can't do it anymore. And the court just came down, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, and said, that's correct. The safe harbor law no longer is valid.
And that is affecting a lot of big companies like Facebook, Google, because...
Well, actually, Facebook and Google, Hank, can overcome it. Really, they can. But the smaller companies, the mid-sized and small businesses, who are absolutely dependent upon having fair and open transit of information between the European Union, the Asian market, and the U.S. market, the small companies can't cope with it the way Facebook's got lots of lawyers. They've got lots of server farms all over the world. They can get away with it. But if you and I had small businesses, we couldn't get away with it. We'd be out of business.
Well,
and that's the way it looks right now.
You know what we always say, when you get into a difficulty like this, there is always a solution. You know what that solution is, right?
No.
Money, money. Money talks.
No, but small companies don't have the money.
No, it's the money between the governments. And
here we're in a case where it's very tricky. Now, this is my opinion. I, A, am not a lawyer, and I am, B, not a diplomat, and I am, C, not all that smart. But if somebody says to me, I'm not going to let you bring data into your country because the NSA is liable to intercept that data and do something with it. I don't know what. I, as a representative of the United States, cannot say, well, we just won't allow that anymore.
Well,
it's more than just a political problem, because now Congress would have to pass a law saying that NSA couldn't do that. Well, Congress does not pass laws that say NSA cannot do that.
It never will.
In fact, Congress does not pass laws, period.
We have what is called a convoluted issue.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, at least I call it that.
I have to use one of those seven words.
No. Hey, listen. WBAI was the key person that lost that Supreme Court case. So let's not get into that.
Well, I can't use one of those words Hank says, so therefore I'll have to say
however,
it's really a bad problem.
However, what I can say is this is WBAI-FM 99.5 New York, and we have a very special phone number for people to call, 212-209-2950, and we have premiums that you could take advantage of. We have the Windows 10 Home Installation 2-DVD set for $50. These installation are full. They're full copies of the what is distributed by Microsoft. We also have the Windows 10 Pro installation 2-DVD set, and we have the XP Support Toolkit, which is most of that information no longer available on the internet. And we have the Windows 7 Support Toolkit that includes Windows XP free. In virtual mode. Each of those four requested donations, $50, and we have a bonus. Anyone that subscribes pledges to any one of the four or more, or they donate $25 or more, and they can send us a confirmation date of after October 5th. We will send you a white paper that explains in greater detail how one goes about using a free full installation version of Windows 10 as an upgrade.
And who do they email that to?
Joe, why don't you just tell everyone how they get in touch with you?
Send a copy of that receipt, that confirmation receipt, by email, putting the word confirmation in the subject line, and send it to PC Radio, PCRADIO, at PC Radio Show, PCRADIOSHOW.ORG.
And Joe, can you go over one more premium that everyone, it's available to anyone here as producers to use, and that's called the WBAI Buddy System.
Well, the Buddy System, I'll tell you, I have no idea what you get as a premium for that.
A tote bag. I understand it's a tote bag.
Well, the main thing you get is the knowledge and the pleasure of knowing that you are the sponsor of all the programming at BAI that you can't listen to anyplace else in America. Oh, you can get one or two or three or four of the programs on the internet or on a podcast or on a competing radio station someplace down south or up in the Alleghenies, but I'm talking about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You become the sponsor. You become the money behind the wall by becoming a BAI buddy. You can make a pledge that will automatically come out of your bank account or automatically come onto your credit card. As little as $10 a month, month after month, for a full year. This enables the producers and the management at BAI to know that their budget is being funded, that it's there, that they have a certain amount of money to do good things with. And the way you become a BAI buddy is by calling up 209-2950, or by going to WBAI.org on the World Wide Web and making your pledge as a BAI buddy for any dollar amount you want. I mean, if you happen to be, like Hank, extremely wealthy and you want to make it $1,000 a month, that's fine.
Sounds
or if you're
good.
Like me and want to make it $10 a month, That's a little bit of a stretch for me, but you know, I don't think you can go lower than that as a buddy. I'm not sure.
By the way, Joe, I just want to tell everyone that you and I receive no compensation in doing this show. In fact, it costs us money.
It's not really this true that we receive no compensation.
And just because
we receive negative compensation.
And just because we receive no compensation does not mean we're rich. Far from it. Okay.
You guys get more than I do.
I'd like to point out is both Hank and I and the other people affiliated with this show and the other shows on BAI.
What, am I invisible?
It costs us money to do the show.
Okay.
We have to provide a website. We have to provide email contact information. We have to provide DVDs and CDs, air check information. We have to. There's all sorts of expenses. And I know that I get bills every month. And I'll tell you this. I do take it off my taxes because BAI is a charitable organization. It's a 501c3 organization, and donations that you make are tax deductible.
Joe, let's continue with the program. It was reported that Scott Trade is a brokerage firm, and they were contacted by the feds recently, and the feds didn't have any problems with Scott Trade in terms of having done anything. What they said to Scott Trade was, "Do you know you've been hacked?" And Scott Trade was, "What?" And I said to myself, "That's pretty poor management if they didn't know they were being hacked." But Joe, you said
how did the government know Scott Trade was hacked?
You said that to me. You know what? How did the government know? And you tell me, how did the government know they got
hacked?
There's
only one way the government would have known, and that's if they were themselves hacking Scott Trade and they came across the penetration.
No, if they're watching someone and they see that they do it, then that's another way that they could find out.
Yeah, but the thing is, what Joe is saying is that the feds are...
Yeah, but that's not right.
That's not right.
No,
I agree
the
with
feds
you.
Are not trying to hack in, but they may be watching someone
who
has hacked
in. Oh, yeah,
in.
Okay. Anything the feds does is...
excuse me. If you believe that one, there's this bridge I want to sell you.
Good. It would go with my other bridge that I have over here in Manhattan.
Yeah. By the way, Stevie has a very famous bridge. It's called Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Yeah. I think somebody else.
There was another one about Stevie's bridge. It was called A Bridge Too Far.
You know, also, what was reported was that, this is T-Mobile, and now this is no fault of T-Mobile. What they do is they use a credit agency, Experian, and they got hacked with 15 million accounts got hacked. I mean, can you imagine
that? I find that very interesting because I thought T-Mobile was much smaller than that. It tells me it's a bigger company.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, all companies are interrelated where they have suppliers and, you know, and when any of the suppliers that they're using are compromised in any way, they are affected by it. And, like, you know, it's almost impossible to say, I do everything and I don't depend on anyone.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If I know, and I do, that there are miscreants out there, criminals, scammers, whatever you want to call them, who are trying to get this kind of information, I would hire somebody to make sure that the information I get on my customers or my potential customers is secure. I don't understand why that's not happening.
Well, Joe, you know, first of all, some people don't know who Experian is.
Well, there are three main credit agencies that we talk about here in this country, and Experian is one of those three.
Well, actually, there are more than three, but these are the three that offers
the three principal ones.
Well, yeah, and they offer an annual free credit check.
Well, they don't offer that, but as part of their service, they offer that.
They are required to, by the way.
Government made them do
but
it.
Look what's in the data that was swiped. 15 million records were swiped. This data included the unencrypted username, home address, date of birth, the encrypted social security number, a personal ID such as a driver's license number, and then additional information that T-Mobile had to provide to Experian for a full credit check. Now, if you get that kind of information, then you in essence have all the information you need for identity theft on those 15 million people.
That's right.
Okay, now that theft has been going on since September of 2013. It wasn't until last month that Experian discovered the network intrusion. What kind of intrusion protection do they have on their databases if it took more than two full years to find out that they were being hacked?
Joe, you know, we worry about T-Mobile, but what I worry about more than just T-Mobile is what companies don't know yet that they have been hacked.
These hackers are smart.
Say that again, Stephen.
These hackers are smart, no matter
no,
how
actually,
much security
they aren't,
you have.
But they do rely on the fact that many, many corporations are dumb.
Okay.
That is true,
I'll buy
too.
That. Okay, let me just say 212-209-2950, and we make that phone number open. So if you want to call to make a pledge, we're not going to prevent you from
making a pledge.
We're not going to prevent you from making a pledge.
What's that number again?
212-209-2950. We have available the Windows 10 Home full installation copy. We have the Windows 10 Pro full installation copy. We have the Windows XP support toolkit. We have the Windows 7 toolkit support disk. Each of them are $50 requested donation. If you want more details on it, you can go to our website, pcradioshow.org, and Michael, our webmaster, has listed on it. And there's a bonus with any one of those pledges, including any cash donation pledge that you make of $25 or more. We will send you a white paper that tells you more about how to go about implementing how to get and how to implement the Windows 10 either Pro or Home editions. So, and of course, Joe mentioned the WBAI buddy. So, continuing with what's in the news, Joe.
I'd like to break in for a second and say I had a very, very interesting phone call earlier this week, and I have two separate phone lines here, and I had virtually the same phone call on the second line this morning. And I'd like to tell you what that phone call was, because you may have heard of it.
Go ahead.
Phone rang, picked it up, said hello two or three times, nobody there. I was about to hang up when somebody said, hello, and I said, hello.
Once you hear that accent, you know what it is.
I said, this is David, and I'm calling you from Microsoft. Because
No, they don't say say Microsoft tech support. See,
No. This morning it said, I am calling you from Microsoft.
Well, that's a lie.
And I would like to tell you that you have a problem with your computer.
I have so much fun with these guys.
I decided to play along.
Yeah.
Both times. And I said, are you really from Microsoft? And they said, we are with tech support. And I said, well, how do you know that I have a problem with my computer? And I said, we're able to tell that with Windows. And it went on for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then I informed them that they weren't really that smart, and they said, why? And I said, because my computer is a Macintosh. It doesn't have Windows. And I wanted to see what would happen, and all they did was hang up. Click, it was gone.
Oh, see, the fun was over.
Well, Joe,
But last year I had gotten a call like that, and I thought they were over. But now I'm getting complaints from many of our listeners that they're getting it. And, Hank, you pointed out to me that
it's not just
in this country. It's in Europe, and it's all over now.
But I'll tell you what is shocking is, according to Microsoft, people who have complained because they actually got sucked into it. And in the past year, what do you think the recorded count is? Obviously, it's only the tip of the iceberg of those people who got suckered into it. 175,000.
Well, that was 175,000
who fell for it.
But it's he said that Microsoft has said that this year they expect to have $1.5 billion scammed out of the people who answer the phone.
Now, let me ask you a question that
Because I know that when I said that some of the things I did, you say, okay, let me tell you what it is, all right? I would get these, and often I just hang up right away and try to block the number if I could block the number. But, you know, it's impossible. And so sometimes, like Stevie, I would say, let's play along with them. And I would say, oh, okay. And then I would say, can you hold it a minute? Let me get a paper and pencil. Or right. They ask me for some information.
Yeah, hold on, please.
And I just put them on hold. And then I said that, and Joe, you know what you said to me? You said, you know, these guys are trying to make an honest living, and you just took time away. They don't get paid.
Honest?
They don't get paid unless they can get someone to subscribe to the so-called support.
It's a hazard of the job.
Now, if you think about it, they're not robbing anyone.
They are.
Well,
they are.
Oh, Stevie is absolutely right there. Just as if they're putting their hands into the other guy's pocket.
Yeah.
They're robbing them.
Now, wait a minute. Now, if you think about it, a lot of telemarketers are doing things not only with Microsoft tech support, but they are trying to sell you other things. Like,
no.
We're only talking about
there's a difference
tech
between someone trying to sell you something that you may or may not want and trying to scam you out of money for nothing.
No, wait a minute.
That's the problem in this country. We generalize too much. We say, hey, if you cross against the red light, you're a jaywalker and you're a criminal. And if you jack a car and steal the car, you're also a criminal. It's different kinds of crime.
This is your final call for your medical alert.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
You don't get that
credit
at all.
Card.
This is your final call for your
card.
Credit card.
No. I also get it for a medical alert. This is your final call. I would say, great. And they keep calling.
They don't keep calling. Somebody else calls. Your name is on so many lists. You've got to understand how direct marketing works, Hank.
I do know.
Somebody there looking in a phone book and then dialing your number.
I press the one, and I get somebody, and they say, well, who are you looking for?
Well, you know, Joe, you have to understand that we have something called a do not call list, but it doesn't work because you actually create the opportunity for these calls.
Well, no, it's not that so much. The problem with the do not call list is the problem with so much of the law in this country. The law has to be passed by a political institution called Congress. And Congress has pressures on it. Republicans want one thing. Democrats want something else. Independents want something else. One lobbyist wants this. The other lobbyist wants that. And by the time the law gets passed, it's a mishmash.
Well, first of all, the do not call list exempts three groups of people.
But those aren't the people who give me a problem.
Not true at all, Joe, because election time is coming up, and guess what?
About election time. I'm worried about the
today
scammers.
And yesterday.
I'm worried about the. This is Sam Smith of the New York State We Help Police organization.
Right.
By the way, I get a lot of those, and the other
police.
One that really.
You know, it happens that I do give to one of the police charities. It's called the Widows and Orphans Fund. And it's run by the PBA, and it only supports widows and orphans of officers who've been killed in the line of duty. And I happen to support that. When I get these scam calls, I very often say, are you with the widows and orphans? And they say, no, what do you mean? And I say, well, I give to them. Isn't that enough? And they inevitably hang up.
Well, you know, Joe, I tell you what I get a lot of calls on, different veteran groups.
I even get mailings from them, but it's the same thing. Every time I have checked out one of these groups, it's turned out to be phony.
Well, there's one or two groups I've been able to verify, and I do give to them, but I find that many of them are questionable.
Most of them that you find advertising for donations are beyond questionable, and yet there are many. Do you know that there is one city in the United States of America, there is one city who decided to do something about homeless veterans, and they went to work on it last year and announced just a few months ago.
Is that California?
That there is not one homeless veteran left in New Orleans, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm sorry. And how did they accomplish that? every time they found the name of somebody living under a bridge or in a shelter or on the street, if that person was a veteran, somebody outreached to that veteran until that veteran one-on-one got rehoused. Now, you're telling me, well, they only had 200 or 300 homeless veterans, and we here in the city have maybe 20,000. I don't care. Do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. Tell me how you did do it.
Right. Well, as you know, Joe, I am, one of the things I am very unhappy about is the cuts in budgets for the mentally ill, where they're not get properly housed or getting treated or institutionalized.
Okay, here's a perfect example. Hank, you're upset about the cut in budget. What have you personally done about that upset?
Well, you know what I've personally done. I don't want to go into it on a personal basis.
Bought a computer?
No. Joe knows that
Hank and people like Hank go out and do volunteer work, put in their own time, their own effort, their own expenses to accomplish something that they believe in. I don't care if you don't believe in it, Stevie. There's something that you do believe in. Go out and do something about what you do believe in, because if everybody in this country did one thing good...
I believe in WBAI, and that's why I'm here for over 20, 25 years, because
exactly.
I believe in BAI, so I volunteer my time to come here when it costs me money.
Well, you not only volunteer your time, but you have to come here from 25 or 35 miles away. You have to pay for your own transportation. You have to pay for your own expenses.
It takes me an hour and a half,
And by the way, I
got to
tell you, Stevie, in a sense, had to go through an obstacle course because...
I got to drive through Brooklyn.
No, not only that, okay? But the thing is, we're on tonight. 2 weeks from now, we're on, and 2 weeks after that, we're on. And we got these two-hour sessions starting at 7 p.m., and parking is not available until 7 p.m., and he's trying to rush to get the,
parking.
How do you do that?
He holds his breath, and he hopes he doesn't get a ticket by rushing up to the studio 2 minutes of seven.
Don't tell him that.
2 minutes of seven? So I can go call my friend, the meter maiden?
Right.
No, you don't do that.
Oh, no. Somebody else will do it.
By the way, I got news for you. Where I live, some of these, they're not meter maids. They're not maids anymore because, it's men and women. But
derogatory.
They are pretty, like 9 o'clock and... you put your car there 5 minutes before, some of them actually will go ahead and ticket you because they're waiting there.
Well, wait a minute.
They can't do it before.
Isn't there a law that says it's illegal parking and you're liable to getting a ticket?
At the time, it says so on the sign.
I mean, if the sign says, for example, no parking from 7 to 9,
right,
and you're going at 5 minutes to 9, you're breaking the law, aren't you?
Yes, you are.
If you don't think that's right, shouldn't the sign
No, Joe, my point is this.
Or something?
Wait. Stevie is a volunteer here at WBAI.
So I should be exempt.
And in the interest of supporting WBAI
right.
and, non-paid a staff member, he takes the risk of coming in at 1-2 minutes before 7, of getting a ticket, to make sure that we get on the air.
Why just broadcast it to everybody in New York?
212-209-2950. We have the Windows Home DVD set. We have the Windows 10 Professionals full copy set. We have the Windows XP support disk. We have the Windows 7 support disk. Each of them are $50. Make your donation, 212-209-2950. And I just want to say that before I got on the air, I was in the volunteer room with, actually premium room with Matt, and he's got it, and he's got copies made up, and boy, they're pretty spiffy looking. I couldn't have done it. The copying is easy, but the labeling, boy, he did a nice job. By the way, Joe, let me talk about one thing that we dream about that actually can happen in a very short time. Like any time you want to charge up something, you look for an AC socket, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if it could be done wirelessly?
Well, actually, Hank, before you get to that, today I was getting a cup of coffee at a Starbucks,
mm-hmm.
And I put my coffee down on what I thought was a coaster on the counter.
It was charging.
I looked, there was something written on the coaster.
Yep.
And it said charge pad.
Isn't that great? Because I know that when we meet at NYU, they have very few outlets purposely because the students are fighting for AC outlets, you know. And so, I you know, with this technology, I think it's great that
instead of a charge pad, if I have, I forget what it is, but I have to have something on my cell phone that will accept the charge. Some cell phones come with it built in, mine didn't. But I heard that there's another one that's going to allow charging without a charge pad, just through the air.
Right,
like radio transmission.
By the way, who's the first one that came up with the concept of it being possible?
Nikola Tesla.
Right.
Yeah, and he goes
he
back.
He was the big competitor of Thomas Alva Edison.
Yeah, he was in your time period, right?
Yes, and one of them was very big into direct current or DC electricity, and the other was very big into alternating current. And I never remember which is which.
No, that's easy. That's easy. Tesla was the one that said AC is the way to go because because you can run it over longer distances.
Well, he was obviously wrong because what we use.
Now wait a minute. Now Thomas Edison says DC is safe, and it is safe because DC is safe. However, to prove a point. When the electric chair bids went out, he won. And by the way, it's done with DC.
Yeah, of course it is. DC is no joke.
No, actually, like if you open up your system, seriously, don't touch any AC wires there because it can be dangerous.
Right,
whereas with DC, like take a battery. The battery is DC. I can touch with my fingers, the two posts.
It's low voltage. A battery is it can be five volts.
It can be high voltage, and it's still I can still touch it.
Like what? What battery? What?
Okay, very simple. The output of your charger to your laptop is like it's more than 5 volts.
I think it's 5 volts.
No, you go look at it. Okay.
15 volts.
No,
then.
5 volt is good for a phone. Hey, Joe. Let me just go over one thing. You found out something that when you said about a charger and I told you that, hey, you know, there are voltage differences in these little tiny charging units?
Well, let me tell them folks first what happened. I was have a tablet and I couldn't, you know, I picked up the mini, the micro USB plug, put it in, and it didn't show it was charging. And I have lots of those around, and I picked up 4 or 5 or 6, and finally one was charging. Now, the one that was charging, I could unplug the cable from both ends, and so I just carried that around with me. But then one day I just plugged it into a base charger, and it wasn't working. And that puzzled me, so I took it and plugged it into the original charger, and it was working. So I called Hank up, and I said, it's not that it's a bad cable. And it's not that it's a bad base.
The voltage was the same, right?
Yeah.
But
Hank said to me, well, you're a dummy because, and tell him why I was a dummy, Hank.
Well, you, there's amperage when you're charging, and amperage times voltage equals watts, and you didn't have enough watt supports.
And the reason that was so is if you looked at the cable, there was nothing printed on it. But if you looked at the
amperage.
The doohickey you plug into the wall.
Come on, it's not a doohickey.
It's on the
power plug. There's a label. It's called label, not a doohickey.
No. The label is on the doohickey.
Okay.
And the label is printed so small, 3-point microgramma. It's not legal to print in that small a face, but with a magnifying glass, a lit magnifying glass, I was able to determine that it was a 0.7 microns, and I have no idea micro watts, but it turned out to be not a micro watt, but a micro watt. and Hank said you needed more power than that in order to make the charge. And the other one that I plugged it into had a full whatever. Hank, no two instruments that I have, whether it's a tablet or a phone or a whatever, requires the same as any other. Everything is unique. All the different doohickeys are unique. the long cables, the 10-foot cables, are not the same as the 3-foot cables. There is no such thing as standardization.
Well,
what is a person to do?
Well, hopefully there will be some standardization with one cable, and that is the HDMI cable. It turns out that people think that if you spend a lot of money for a cable, it must be a good cable. Not true at all. Okay.
It gets worse than that, Hank. I just had a technician from Time Warner up here yesterday. I was having a lot of trouble, and as long as he was coming up to install some new equipment, I was having a lot of trouble on my older TV sets, and he said to me, "When did you have the cabling installed?" And I said, basically about 25 years ago. And he chuckled, opened up his bag, took a new stretch of cable out, recabled the entire apartment, and the set was like 100 times better. And I said to him, "What?" He said, "Well, people don't realize it, but this coax cable ages. It has to be replaced." Nobody, he said, "Your connectors had to be replaced." I had 3 or 4 multi-output connectors. He said, "All of these things." And he said, "And we'll do it for you at no charge, but somebody has to tell us you need it."
Joe, we're going to wind up this first hour of two-hour broadcast by just saying this is WBAI-FM, 99.5 New York, and this is a period of membership drive, and we are offering 4 premiums, the Windows 10 full installation copy in both 32 and 64-bit. It's a 2-DVD set. We also have that also for the professional version. And we have the Windows 7 support kit that has Windows XP XPM Pro support that's no longer available on the Internet. And finally, we have the Windows XP support itself with the unofficial SP4. Each of those are available for a $50 donation. Please, make a pledge. You're going to be helping to allow us to continue on the air. We're going through a very difficult time right now. By the way, Joe, I just want to tell you that the good news is we finally got the phone company to run lines to WBAI. Now it's now it's going to take some amount of time to figure out, connecting those lines into the equipment. So hopefully, let's say maybe in 30 days' time, we can start, be what we are, really, a call-in show.
You know, you would think that a radio station that broadcasts 50,000 watts off the rooftop of the Empire State Building, that there would be somebody who knows how to plug in a telephone.
Well, we are now at the top of the hour of our second hour, and I want to welcome everyone who's now just tuning in
to WBAI, New York 99.5 FM.
Welcome to the Personal Computer Show.
Where's our theme music?
Well, we're going to skip the theme music so we can move on with the show, okay? We are on this evening. We started at 7 p.m. and we will continue to 9 p.m. And for those who are just tuning in, there will be a podcast which will include our first hour as well as the second hour. And we start at 7 p.m. And we are preempted next week, but we will be back October the 21st from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we do have... we thank those who have been continue to listen, although they were initially tuning in to Off the Hook. And we ask everyone that next week, support Off the Hook, and you can tune in. They have many things very similar to what we have, and it's quite interesting. Again, the phone number to call is 212-209-2950.
I'd like to point out, Hank, that if you went over very quickly what premiums you're offering tonight, and if folks go over to take their browser and point it at pcradioshow.org, they can, in the left-hand column, select the item that says premiums or something like that, and they can read all about it while they listen to your priceless prose on the air.
And I also want to say that at the half-hour break, after we make the public service announcements, I will be spending the rest of the time talking about how, from Microsoft, you can get and install a free, full installation copy of Windows 10 as an upgrade.
As a free upgrade.
It's a free upgrade,
And you know, one of these days I'm going to have Hank spend that last half hour talking about Intel, who has decided to come up with a series of names for their chips, which has me totally and completely confused.
That's very easy. It's named, there are over 1,000 rivers in Oregon, and they're just naming, like, the Willamette and so on. They're just naming it after a
no,
river.
No, I'm talking about the i7, the i3, the i5, the i-this, the i-that, the I-don't-care-anymore.
Well, I'm waiting for a chip named I-I-I, or something like that.
That's going to be manufactured in Mexico, or what?
Oh, well, wait a minute now. We're going to get people upset with any references
well,
we make,
that's
okay?
It's not as bad as the one that's being going to be manufactured in Israel called the Oi Oi Oi.
You know, I got to tell you, last week I was having a little problem with my system, and what happened was that my son came over, and it seems like every time we got on the internet, it was dropping off every 2-3 minutes, and I said, okay, let's try a different browser. I went through it with IE, Firefox, Chrome, and Opera, and only with a couple of minutes, it kept dropping off. I said, wait a minute, could this be hardware? Well, it can't be, because with hardware, nothing was going wrong at all. So one of the things I did was I was running a Windows 7. I went to program features. You know, you go to the control panel, you go to program features, and what that tells you is what has been installed on your system, at least, you know, from an application point of view. And there's two things I always do. Number one is I always sort it by, most recently installed to the oldest installed, and I look at, like the last 30, 60 days, what might have snuck in there. And then the other thing I did was I sorted in alphabetic order so I can look at the names more easily. And to my surprise, I found that I had 2 copies of Adobe Flash.
That happens a lot.
And it turns out that there's a problem, and I verified it. I had Adobe, I got this message, and it drives me crazy with Adobe. You got to update your Flash. You got to upgrade your Flash. So in this case, I pressed, okay, I got time, upgrade. I went for a cup of coffee, and Flash version 18 went on, and that was the cause of my problem. Why? They never uninstalled version 17.
Why not?
They chose, I would call this very poor quality control. And they said, yeah, that's the problem. And a number of people who have contacted them says, well, when is this going to be fixed? At the next major release. Come on, that's garbage. In other words, they make decent products, but fit and finish should be one of the requirements for, a good product.
That's an oversimplification, isn't it?
Oversimplification? I don't think so at all.
No, you're saying that, if I may put words into your mouth, as I frequently do, you're saying that, gee whiz, Adobe is a big company and they should not have human error.
No, I didn't say that, okay? You can have human errors, but something like quality control doesn't exist. It should exist.
How about human error in the quality control?
No, I call that poor management.
I call that bad quality control, but it's arguable. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, what you're really telling everybody is if they're having this kind of a problem, particularly between versions 18 and 17, they should go in to the control panel, look for it, maybe they can fix it manually.
Well, what I did was I uninstalled, and I got to finish this, okay? I uninstalled 17, 18 was still left there, but I said to myself, I don't trust that they uninstalled just 17. And this is one of the things that most applications do, and I understand why they do it, but I don't agree with it, is that with many of them, uninstalling means you completely uninstall it. You take out the subdirectory in the program files area, okay? And they don't. They leave a little tiny subdirectory in there, and I call them mouse trails. I call them...
The other place you'll find mouse trails is in the registry.
Yeah, but...
it's hard to go in there.
Well, no, you can. You can. Just run a registry cleaner. It'll clean it up, okay? But by the way, Joe, I got to go through one more thing, is that in this white paper, it's going to include up to, you know, as much as I can, some of the, I call it tech tips I take for granted. And every time I talk about it with you, you would say, huh? Hey, I didn't know about that. I said, Joe, you should have known about it, okay?
You see, the problem is, Hank, that you and I spend about the same amount of time each week reading the technical reports, the newsletters, the flashes, the this. There's only one big difference between you and me.
I remember it.
Exactly.
You know, a common question that we get when people were calling in, and we get it in the email, is, I'm running my system, and all of a sudden the system shuts off. And the question we normally ask is, does it shut off in the same place? The answer is no. It shuts off after 2-3 minutes, and then when I power it back on again, it shuts off in another 2-3 minutes, no matter what I'm doing. And then my answer to it is, it's a thermal problem. And then I find that the thermal problem is, I'm not really helping people identify what the thermal problem is, so let me go through some of it, okay? Thermal problem is that there's heating, excessive heating in the system, and shutting it down. And one of the common causes is the fan is not spinning anymore, and if it's not rotating, it's not pulling out the heat. So what you should do is check the fan. Make sure that the dust isn't clogging up the fan. Another common cause is a wire, through vibration or whatnot, it's causing the fan not to spin. Okay. You know, can you open it up? And then I find that there's another cause, which probably most people don't even think of, all right, is that the, especially on an older system, most of the older system, they have at very minimum a heat sink, and with the more powerful CPUs, they have a fan. And now with notebooks, of course, you know, the fan is separate from the heat sink, whereas with a desktop, you know, they integrate into one unit. Well, in the case of a notebook, especially on an aging notebook, what holds the heat sink to the CPU? Well, if it's a combined unit with a fan, it's clipped on and it stays fastened on. But with a notebook, what holds the heat sink to the CPU is paste. It's thermal paste. And one of the brands is called Arctic Ice. And you'll find that as it ages, it's no longer effective.
There's another thing on laptops, and I'm only aware of it, Hank, because it occurred this week on an old HP laptop. You can have a crack in a trace, and as the motherboard heats, it separates that crack and shorts.
Yeah, well, now... in the case of, like, say, now, that's probably rarer, but with older systems, it's starting to happen, and I find that a lot of people, they say with an older system, the system will shut down, and if it's running, by the way, it's not a crack at all, because otherwise it wouldn't have run at all. In other words, there's integrity in the system, it's running, but after 2-3 minutes, it shuts down. And the best thing I could tell you is that when you buy a system, other than, you know, the couple of, you know, initial 1, 2, 3 things you should do. One is, when you buy a new machine, copy the hidden partition that's an operating system. If you don't do that, you won't have a copy of it when you need it.
It's not a mysterious thing. When you first boot up a brand new machine, it'll either have a README file, or it'll have a piece of paper with it telling you to do just what Hank just said, and it'll tell you how to do it.
And the other thing I would recommend you highly do, okay, is go to the manufacturer, go to support, and you'll find that the maintenance manual happens to be available with most of the laptops and desktop systems.
Yes.
Download it. It's a PDF file. Some of it may run 20 pages, some will run 200 pages. Download the whole thing. You know, don't just take a piece of it, like 2-3 pages. Take the whole thing. And the reason why it's important to have that maintenance manual is that with laptops, it doesn't have the same consistency as a desktop, where with a desktop, I don't really need an operating manual to how to open the case and how to get to the parts. You'll find that with a notebook, they got different size. They may have different size screws.
Except, let me interrupt, Hank, long enough to say I got a Lenovo ThinkCenter a few months back,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't figure out how to open it up.
Oh, you mean the notebook?
No, this was a desktop.
Oh, desktop. Right. The ThinkCenter
couldn't figure it out. Had no screws that would work, had no this, nothing.
Finally, I downloaded
the maintenance manual from Lenovo, and it turned out that if I put it on its side, it was a clamshell design, and if I pressed on the logo, it popped open,